Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
How are you feeling about your decision at the voting booth back in November of 2024? Inquiring minds want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. Welcome to the latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. Smith, coming at you as I love to do every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. over the airwaves of Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124. That's 866-96-POTUS. That's the number to call in. That's 866-96-POTUS. I'm asking that question. One would say facetiously. I'm saying both literally and facetiously because of what's been transpiring right now. There's a lot that we could get into today. We could talk about the SAVE Act. We could talk about the SAFE Act, I'm sorry. We could talk about what's going on with our United States government. We could talk about legislation that's being attempted to be pushed through, you know, and how it affects American citizens, how the Democrats are against something, how the Republicans are for another, each trying to secure their voting bloc as best as they possibly can. We can get into all of that. There's no question about it. But that ain't the story percolating right now. That's not the story percolating. The story percolating more than anything else right now, as we speak, okay, is the war with Iran. Now, I know we don't want to call it that because it's not a full-fledged war, because we all know that the United States Congress, who hasn't declared war since 1942, if I remember correctly, they certainly haven't done that. So we can't say that officially, that that really is the case. But what we can say is that there's no question that right now it's permeating our minds, our hearts, and our thoughts. And a lot of times people are thinking about certain things. Like, for example, it's the United States collaborating with Israel. So you have folks out there that are obviously in full support of Israel, and you have people that are diametrically opposed to anything associated with Israel when it comes to Iran and military action. We're looking at the United States and we're wondering how President Trump could go from saying, we've obliterated them, we've bombed them, they have very little minimal nuclear capability, to feeling the need to all of a sudden join Israel in going after them again. As of today, a few hours ago, as many as 140 U.S. service members have been wounded so far. The conflict is believed to have disrupted global oil markets, and gas prices have surged nationally. Congress debated and rejected a measure to force Trump, as in President Trump, to get authorization before continuing the war, which means that essentially he can still operate with relative impunity because he has the support of both the House and the Senate, because the GOP has those folks, even though you have some people who've been resistant to him some, to some degree. But when push comes to shove and really the rubber meets the road, we all know that in all likelihood, in most situations when it comes to the GOP, he's going to get what he wants. It's dominating social media right now. War and economic consequences. Of course, there's an ongoing debate over presidential war powers because people don't want him nor anybody operating unilaterally and devoid of impunity, or with impunity rather. And there is some split because you have MAGA members of the party who are reminding him that he said America first. What happened to that? If it's America first, why are we engaging in this kind of stuff? So as you see right there on the screen, Iran strike approval. 1 in 4 Americans say they back U.S. strikes on Iran. That means 3 out of 4 said hell to the no. That's 75% of the American population that are being polled, that is, that's saying hell no. We don't like this one bit. We get that part. Here's my point. We recently heard that gas prices have gone up because of these actions. Obviously, we've heard news about a school being bombed and how America denied that it was them, it was Iran, and Iran's ambassador was saying Trump is lying about Iran being responsible for that, and Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat out of Texas, Connecticut, saying he believes it was the U.S. that hit the school and it's awful that we did, et cetera, et cetera. Here's my thing. Is it good for elected officials to be over the national airwaves blaming our administration for a military act in action against a foreign nation? How does that help us? I'm not saying it shouldn't be done. I'm simply saying to ask the question, because these are the kind of times that we're living in, and we got to wonder about the collateral damage that it causes us as American citizens. That's one way to look at it. Another way to do it is to focus on home and ask ourselves, what's going on here? And you know what conclusion I came to? The big political risk for President Trump is the economic fallout that exists here. The minute you go to the gas pump and the price of gas is $4 a gallon, you got a problem. We can sit up there and strike it any way we want. So this is a big, big risk. And the reason why it's a big, big risk is because you might contribute to helping destabilize Iran, who won't be able to finance their proxies in the region, whether it's the Houthis in Yemen, whether it's Hamas or Hezbollah, which has been virtually destroyed in some people's eyes already. You're not going to be able to finance them. But what did Iran do? They bombed Dubai, a 5-star hotel. We don't have a military base there. Why would they do that? Because what you want to do is send a message that chaos will reign in the Middle East and beyond towards anyone remotely associated with America and Israel in any kind of positive way whatsoever. In other words, we going to burn the damn house down. We going down, you coming down with us. We ain't going out that way. And obviously, there's a reluctance on the part of American citizens to embrace that, knowing that Iran is responsible for killing hundreds of American soldiers dating back to the 80s. And some of the attacks that have taken place on American soil or on foreign soil against Americans, they've had a heavy hand in contributing to that. Because it's death to America, it's death to Israel, it's Israel needing to be wiped off the face of the map. It's all of these different things. I'm not taking sides because, damn it, I'm not an aficionado. That's why I got Fareed Zakaria from CNN coming on in just the next few minutes. I'm going to the expert right there. I'm going to find out what's real and what's fake and what's authentic and what's manufactured, if it's the last damn thing that I do. But I got to tell you something right now. It did get my blood boiling when I thought about the politicians on Capitol Hill and the power that they wield, and how what's at the real core of our problems as Americans right now is the fact that we can't trust a single damn decision that's made because it's too tilted to one side of the aisle over the other. See, if you have bipartisanship and you had an abundance of Democrats voting with the Republicans and a bunch of Republicans voting with the Democrats, we could at least say we're unified as a government, as a nation, and we're comfortable with whatever decision they make because we know that whether we agree or disagree, they're making decisions that are in the best interest of America as opposed to their party. And we'd be cool with that because we'd be more self-assured. But we can't say that because that's the last thing that exists in our country. The polarization is so bad. We can't trust a single damn thing that comes out of their mouth. I'm reading from some story right now where it says Senator John Cornyn out of Texas, in need of President Trump's endorsement ahead of a tough primary runoff, reversed himself on Wednesday and said he would support changes to the longstanding Senate filibuster rule that requires 60 votes to advance most legislation. Why is that something that should concern you? Because if you eradicate the filibuster, that means it's only about a majority within the Senate. That's all that's required. 51 votes. That's all you need to push legislation through, no matter what the other side of the aisle thinks about what your decisions are. Don't we have enough of that? Isn't that enough of a problem as exists right now? Don't you hate when you see, as an American citizen, when the Democrats in lockstep vote on one side and the GOP in lockstep vote on another? I'm in a room with six people. Six. I can assure you without asking them a single damn question, we don't agree on everything. But we agree on something. But the Democrats and the Republicans will act like that doesn't exist. There's no possible way we could possibly agree. No possible way. We could agree on stuff like the Epstein files. Oh, we could cross the aisle then to find out who was screwing around with who. Who was molesting or sexually assaulting minors. Oh, we could come to an agreement on that. But nothing else. You got to be kidding me. And then I started reading about something else. Other than the Senate filibuster issue. And you know what that something else was? That something else was the SAFE Act. Specifically speaking, the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act. And to appease my communications director, because she wants to make sure I have all my facts in order, because she gets very, very nervous, even though she knows I'm on top of my game because I'm Stephen A. And, you know, I want to make sure she's feeling good. Not only do I know what I'm saying, I'm looking up the definition to read it to y'all, just so we're clear. Even my technician is listening, and he usually doesn't, because he knows every damn thing. Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act will require Americans to provide documentary proof of United States citizenship, such as a passport, a birth certificate, or naturalization papers when registering to vote in federal elections. Seems very simple to me. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this to show you how pathetic we are and we've become as a nation, rife with Americans who don't trust one another as far as we can throw one another. I'm sitting upstairs debating and arguing, and I want to put this on Front Street with people I employ. Okay? I cut the checks, not just cash them. And they're arguing with me. Why? And I said, explain to me. Last time I checked, I don't recall a single incident in my adult life where I did not need an ID to do something. Got to have a driver's license. You understand? If you want to get tickets on Ticketmaster, you got to have some form of ID. You want to go up and pick up tickets at a game, you got to have an ID. You want to pay for something at the supermarket and it ain't cash, or the department store and it ain't cash, you got to show ID even while you're giving them a credit card to charge your stuff to your credit card. You're literally paying and giving them money and they're saying, show me some ID. And then my staff, being as adroit and as thorough as they are, took the liberty of reminding me that, Stephen, my man Rashawn said this. Most Americans, you're different because you're going for your college education. Most Americans don't do that. Most Americans, they can't afford to try and go to college. And then my assistant Sumatra showed me that 62% of Americans go through college, are in pursuit of college education. Then I looked at Rashawn and I said, does 62% qualify as most? Last time I checked, that's a majority of a number. 62% would leave 38% on the other side. Is my math wrong? All right, big dog. That's what he said. Most people require ID. So when we have the Democratic Party out there saying, oh my God, this is wrong. You know what? We shouldn't be having to go through that. Don't go for the SAFE Act. Don't do it at all. A matter of fact, refusing to do a deal. Where we've got, a partial shutdown still taking place. Oh, refusing to do a deal until that is handled. And I said to myself, and I said to them, I said, come on now, what's wrong with an ID? And then I was enlightened. Got this dude that worked for me, is going, the brother, yeah, I don't mess with him too much. It's a big boy. Okay, big boy. All right. And smart as hell, too. And I like him. But here's the deal. He's saying, hey, man. He said, but you need a couple of ideas, and it's really not that. It's about the price. And then I said, hold up. What about this idea? How about erasing the issue of the price. If Pete Hegseth could spend millions of dollars on crabs, on crab meat, and whatever else he was spending money on, if Kristi Noem, the now former secretary for the Department of Homeland Security, could spend up to $300 million on private jets, if you got that much money to blow, why don't you just make sure that every United States American citizen has a form of government ID that is freely distributed? That way we make sure true, legalized American citizens are the ones with ID, and you eliminate those who are here illegally. How come we can't just do that? You know why we can't do that? Because both sides of the aisle can't agree. How much you want to make a bet, and I'd bet my check that the Democrats would have a problem with that idea and the Republicans would have a problem with that idea. Because the notion of fixing and resolving the immigration issue doesn't benefit either side, because it would eliminate the argument that they could make for a midterm election or a general election. Why am I bringing all of that up as we're talking about the issues with Iran and what have you? Because while we are engaging in acts of war, even if war has not been declared, it's based on the decision of an administration and a side of the aisle that's going to march lockstep with him in all likelihood, no matter what, because it's politically expedient for them to do so. And the other side ain't going to do it because it's politically expedient for them not to do so. That's what we're living in. You see why I say all the asses make me sick? You see why I say that? Because I'm sitting here over the airwaves talking to you and informing you that while there are answers and there are solutions everywhere, the issue is not in our inability to discover and notice and highlight what the issue is and what the resolution could be. It's in our refusal and our inability as elected representatives in this country to prioritize reaching enough of a consensus so the American people that they collect billions from in tax dollars and beyond can find a way to live in peace, knowing that our government, as one collective unit, got our backs. Even with Trump, I'm the only one. I'm the one that can come to the rescue. But I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Don't even worry about it, really. That's why I do this, ladies and gentlemen. Because I have to tell you, I actually enjoy telling you that as a collective body, they ain't worth a damn. Not individually, because a lot of individuals come on the show and a lot of individuals are going to come on the show. And I'm going to always be fair. But collectively, in terms of efficiency, come on now. We're $38.4 trillion in debt minimum. What kind of money management is that? Depending on what state you're in, you raising our taxes. We got mayors in cities like New York talking about saving us money. But if the governor doesn't sit up there and provide the necessary assistance, I'm going to raise your property taxes. That's a relief. It just doesn't stop. And that's why, with all due respect, we can't either. 866-96-POTUS is the number to call up. That's 866-96-POTUS. You're listening live to Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Got a lot coming your way, a lot of stuff to talk about. Again, the SAFE Act. Again, the war in Iran. That's what I'm calling it, even if it's not officially declared by the United States Congress. Trump. By the way, who's the Democrat that's going to oppose Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance, or somebody? Midterms are coming up. I just need to see a figure, somebody that's interested in and capable of it on the Democratic side. It's a lot of stuff to get into. But Iran is the most important thing to touch on. And there's no way in hell that we can have this conversation without listening to one of the best in the business when it comes to foreign affairs. He's got his own show every Sunday morning. If I'm near a TV, that's what I'm watching on Sunday mornings. It's CNN. It's the one and only Fareed Zakaria. I am a huge fan of this man, and you should be as well, because when he speaks, we should all listen. He's here next in the house on Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. Fareed Zakaria, up next in a minute.